This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. It was sure an interesting week in the markets, and we will be talking about the volatility that came back in and the moves in the U.S. equity markets and, of course, the precious metals and precious metals stocks. In the first two segments, I am joined by Dan Oliver, founder of Mermican Capital, based in New York. Dan is a regular guest on the show, but he's been traveling and I was traveling and I haven't been able to have him on recently. But Dan, the first thing I want to talk about is credit cycles. In my eyes, you are an expert in the history and credit cycles and where we are currently. And right now, we have the Fed raising rates. We don't know if they are going to raise rates two more times this year, but we have had three rate increases in the last 2 years. In your eyes, where are we in this credit cycle?
Well, I think we're long overdue for its demise. If you look back at how the Federal Reserve evolved and how it's operated the last 100 years, the idea came from Irving Fisher and Keynes that the central bank should stabilize the economy. And the idea was that if prices in the economy are overheating, the Fed should tighten credit, and then vice versa. If the economy is not doing well, then they should loosen credit. And it sounds like a nice stabilization theory. Of course, the market doesn't need stabilization. The market is of itself stable. And so the Fed's really a pernicious influence. And the problem is that Federal Reserve bankers have proven to be very, very bad at preventing bubbles, right? When credit is expanding, everybody's making money, public coffers are full, so you get lots of public works and things get funded. Stock market's going up, everybody's happy, and no one really wants to stand in the way of that. But then when the malinvestments start to liquidate, then the Fed says, oh my goodness, we have to stabilize things and not let that happen. So if you look at the 20s, if you look at the 60s, if you look at the last 30 years, every time the malinvestments have tried to liquidate, the Fed shows up and prints money, which is the only thing they can really do to keep the malinvestments from liquidating. All that does, of course, is encourage more malinvestments, more overcapacity. It makes the ultimate liquidation worse. And so, you know, where we are in this credit cycle is we've had these series of hiccups, like 87, 92, right, 2000, 2008, where the malinvestments try to liquidate, and every time the Fed runs in and saves the day, but it's made the imbalances become absolutely enormous. So here we are, and what usually ends the cycle, so the mini cycle, depending on where you are, is when the Fed starts putting money to stabilize prices and malinvestments, the money it prints goes into the market starts going crazy. And so again, in 1928, the Fed got spooked by the stock market. They started raising rates to rein it in. And even though the economy started weakening and they were supposed to, their mandate said you should loosen again, they were so concerned with the stock market, they didn't. And then the whole thing collapsed in 29 through 33. And I thought we were sort of nearing that point in our own cycle where you had the economy starting to roll over, the real economy, and all the metrics that the Fed follows itself shows this. But the money they printed to support the economy the last decades has gone to the market. The market's still soaring higher. And so they're the Fed, the poor Fed is with a mandate to quote-unquote stabilize prices. I don't know which prices to look at. Do you look at commodity prices? Do you look at the prices of real goods and commerce? Or do you look at securities prices? And once these things start diverging, the whole idea of stabilization becomes incoherent. And so I think right now, the Fed has its focus on asset prices and asset markets because that's the bankers that inhabit the Fed and they all live in the East Coast and the cities, and that's what they really care about. That's what they're more concerned about. So they're starting to tighten credit and see what happens. And as I point out, the Fed started tightening credit at the top of a huge bubble in mid-1928, and commodities started tanking a year later, and 3 months after that, the market fell apart. So it was really about 15 months between when they first started raising rates and when the whole thing collapsed. And we're sort of more or less there. I mean, the Fed's been raising rates much less aggressively than it did that it has in previous cycles, and so it may last a little bit longer. But when you think about how over-levered the economy is with auto loan debt, a lot of it subprime, and housing has become a big deal now. People flipping houses again, and student loans and credit cards, all these things. I mean, the amount of leverage, and government too, of course, is enormous. So when they start raising rates, even a little bit, people's cash flows start going upside down. Now people can survive that for a limited period of time, but eventually cash is up with them, and they start spending, and then the economy tanks. So I can't. It's hard to tell you exactly when things are going to collapse, but it certainly looks like. It's showing all the features of what a top looks like, especially in the context of the Fed raising rates. So I think they'll keep raising rates. I mean, first of all, I don't think they'd raise rates at all. I assume the economy would fall apart before they did. I was wrong on timing. It's hard to get the timing right. But I think they'll keep raising rates, and when it does fall apart, they'll blame it on Trump and then start printing again. I think at some point gold, because markets are forward-looking, gold will start sensing this before it happens, I think. You know, gold got hit in 2008 nominally because when the credit bubble rolled over, there were a lot of people who levered long, a lot of hedge funds that were levered long the gold price, and so when they had to liquidate, gold went down. It went down much less than other things and very briefly, but that was the cause of it. My impression is, I think it's hard to get a fully accurate view of this, but my impression is that there's a lot less of that now. I don't think there's a huge levered long position in gold. If anything, it's probably levered short. So I don't expect, and I could be wrong with this, but I don't expect gold to have the same massive hit it took last time when the cycle rolls over. In fact, I expected the opposite. I think gold will shoot higher as the shorts have to liquidate. And of course, when the Fed runs in and prints money, which they'll have to do to support the government and everything else, then gold will take a whole new step function higher. And at some point, the gold market and the stocks will start anticipating this.
Well, Dan, we will talk about more gold and the precious metals in the next segment. But one other aspect that I want to talk about when you look at the credit market is, I know it's easy to look at what the Fed's doing and look at what's going on in the U.S., but now I think more than ever, it's a global game, and credit is not just isolated to one country. And what we're going through right now with the Fed potentially raising rates, the ECB tapering at the end of this month, the Bank of Japan also rumored to be tapering. It's a big switch that we're seeing in terms of central banks, and all this when we're seeing some of the larger central banks like the Bank of China, or China in general, liquidate some of their U.S. treasuries. We could be in for a different narrative rather than just having money sloshing around the system that ends up somewhere, and more recently than not, has ended up in the markets.
Oh, I think very much so. One of the things that is salient over the last few years, or gotten more extreme, is if we look at the amount of GDP traded by each incremental dollar of debt, it's been falling for 30 years, and now it's almost insignificant. So you've had huge increases in the amount of debt since 2007. And you look at the top of 2007, the top of the bubble to today, it's been a huge increase. And GDP hasn't increased that much. And so what that means is that people are much more levered than they were for the same amount of economic activity, same amount of income, and they can do it because rates are so low. So your payments go way down. And that will change as central banks raise rates. Then that will change. And one of the things I was going to mention is I was at a conference in Europe last week with some senior policy people, and everybody agreed it was extraordinary. They all agreed that the end game of this whole cycle is that the central banks and the governments will simply write down the debt, Cyprus style. They'll just say, hey, look, these assets and liabilities don't really make any sense. They don't match up against each other. They don't reflect economic reality or value, so we're just going to wipe them out. And of course, if you're a depositor in a bank, this has profound implications. Or indeed, if you're a shareholder in companies, because companies have also levered up their balance sheets enormously. So it makes a big difference. And actually, the debate at this conference was not, is this going to happen? Everyone assumed it would happen. The question was, should there be a public discussion of this or not? Because again, in Europe, the idea is the experts run everything and they make the decisions and the little people just have to go along.
That's a good point there, Dan. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we are going to be right back. Everybody stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind.
I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with my conversation with Dan Oliver. Dan, we mentioned a little bit about gold in the last segment, but I do want to talk more about gold and resources in general, because ever since the tail end of 2015, gold, as well as some other resources, have managed to put in a bottom. And I think this has led to a slight uptick in some of the inflation data that most people are looking at and that we have been bombarded with recently. But last year was a crazy year, up, down, for gold. Some other base metals actually held up pretty well, but a lot of that was on the back of Trump talking about infrastructure spending, and we could go a whole segment with what Trump will or will not be able to do. But in general, for the precious metals, do you feel like we've put in a long-term bottom or a nice bottom to that recent bear market that took us down quite substantially?
I think so. Bottoms are only visible in hindsight, right? And I can imagine, as in the previous segment, I can imagine that when the wheels fall off and there's a giant short squeeze on currency, that gold takes a big hit downward temporarily. Again, I don't think that's going to happen because I think the market dynamics are different, but it certainly could happen.
It is a possibility, right?
It's a possibility. And you know, you can never approach markets thinking you know the answer. You have to be adaptable to what happens. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible. I would point out that when you look at hyperinflating currencies, especially, but it's also true with just inflating currencies, it's not just that prices go up, it's that the currency becomes unstable, and so it starts bouncing around chaotically. Yes, there's a general trend upwards, but the level of volatility also increases. And this is why when you read accounts of Weimar Germany, and you don't understand, like, why did these guys just buy gold? It's so obvious. I mean, they're your market's collapsing, and other currencies pegged to gold weren't moving, and gold was stable. Why wouldn't you buy gold? And the answer is because every month the percentage change in the gold price in local currency got bigger and bigger. And so you buy gold thinking it's safe, and the next day it goes down 40%. You're like, oh my God, it's got wiped out. And especially if you lever yourself up, the trade is so obvious. Price is going up, so you take a lot of leverage, and it goes the wrong way, and then you're wiped out. And that's why it's so hard in the context of hyperinflation or even general inflation to save your currency, because you know you start losing perspective on what's really happening. So I think an increasingly volatile gold price, I think, is what one should expect as the a dollar becomes less and less stable and less sound. I'd also point out what I'm interested in is if you think of, the Fed's hiked now three times, and each time the market has really faded, the gold market faded going into the decision, and then afterwards. Followed by a week or two, has come shooting out of it, and that happened with much more compression, much more virulence than this last time. Market traders learn, obviously, they start delving down on it. So and what's interesting to me is that I can see when the Fed raises rates, there are two effects I think that compete with each other. One is everybody who has floating rate debt needs more dollars to maintain their interest payments, right? If they don't make the payments, they lose their assets. So there's a strong incentive to keep dollars on hand, and now you need more of them. So the dollar really should go up on that basis, and then other things go down, obviously, if the dollar goes up. On the other hand, the competing influence is that the Fed's assets are mostly long-term bonds, and long-term bonds lose value as rates go up. And the longer term the bond, the more influence the rates have on it. And so as rates go up, the Fed's assets that back the dollar go down. And when the asset of a balance sheet goes down, the liability goes down too in value. So, this is why in the 70s, as nominal rates went up, gold went up. And as rates went down, gold went down. So, this effect is extremely clear in the 70s. I expect it to become more clear in this cycle too as we get deeper into the collapse phase. So you have those two things competing, and the fact that you have this relationship where everyone assumes that gold is going down with rates, so they sell before the decision, and then gold comes shooting out of it. Yeah, it makes me wonder whether we are at this inflection point where gold will start trading, in opposition to bonds as opposed to with them. And that once that happens, there really is a signal to me anyway that the game's over. That after that, I think the acceleration towards the collapse phase will start accelerating in speed. I think it is unfair that the thing will collapse on Trump's watch because he may have benefited from it, but he didn't cause it. And he'll take the blame for it, of course, as Hoover did.
What happens in the first term of a presidency a lot of the time. We do go through a bit of a recession.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking Hoover. Hoover was elected in 1928. He took office in, I think, March of 29. And then, in October, the whole market collapsed, and the rest of his administration was spent trying to fight the Great Depression, which he did a bad job at because he tried to get more government involved instead of less. But in any case, Trump has the potential to be this Hoover figure where he's been set up to fail. And I, you know, it's interesting. I thought it was clever enough. I mean, on the campaign trail, he was saying it's a fake economy and it's a bubble and it's all Yellen's fault and the rest of it, which is, you know, somewhat true. But now as president, he's taking ownership of the market, saying, hey, look, I'm so great that the market's going up. And that's very dangerous, and it makes you wonder whether he really does understand it, because if he understood it, I'm not sure he'd want to start claiming that he was making the markets go up, because then, you know, the opposite comes true too. When the market is down, that it becomes his fault. So I don't know what
he did deny that on Wednesday when the markets went down. He said it wasn't his fault, but you are right. He has been taking credit for when the markets have been moving up, and a lot of that has been on optimism around what he can do, and it's just showing that Washington takes a long time to get stuff done. But Dan, to your point on gold, it sounds like you think gold is really going to appreciate during a crash scenario rather than a type of reflation scenario.
I think it's unknown. I mean, I think in the crash it'll go up marginally. I mean, I don't have a strong conviction on that, just because a crash is usually typified by a short squeeze on currency, and so people sell their collateral to trade more currency. I don't have a strong conviction on that, but what I do have a strong conviction on is that at the first sign of real collapse, the Fed will panic, as it always does, and it'll flood the market with liquidity, and that will power gold to the next level, at least nominally. I mean, don't forget, as I've written and said many times, you know, gold underperforms commodities during a credit bubble, which is actually bad for gold mining companies. So when the gold price is going up, it's going down in real terms, and it squishes margins. And then the opposite is true, too. When in a depression, when prices are going down, gold goes down less, and so then margins expand. But it's also true that lots of gold companies have a lot of nominal debt. And so when gold shoots the next higher the level nominally, it helps their balance sheet. So there's a very complicated relationship between gold and credit cycles and gold mining companies. But when the Fed peppers the market with liquidity, which they will do at some point, then the dollar will take a step function lower. All prices will go higher, led by gold. And then we'll see. I mean, you know, historically, that leads to a new credit bubble. But it doesn't have to. I mean, sometimes that can be the end of the cycle, and then you get a real inflationary crash. And so which is going to be this time? And we're long overdue for this mega cycle that's been going on for more than 30 years to collapse. And so it's not at all clear to me that the next big Fed intervention saves the system as opposed to accelerating it in a sort of inflationary holocaust. I think that's the end game here. And, you know, is this round there, or do you go through another round or two to get there? That I'm less sure about. But sure.
Unfortunately, only time will tell, Dan. But I think we all do see the warning signs. But in all fairness, those warning signs have been around for a while. But Dan, it's been a pleasure chatting with you for the first two segments. Please keep me up to date. I hope everybody enjoyed this conversation. And stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed my discussion with Dan Oliver. Now I'm bringing on actually a friend of Dan Oliver's and a friend of mine, Valentin Schmidt, the business editor at the Epoch Times. Valentin, let's talk more general concepts as to what's going on in the economy and, quite frankly, what hasn't changed in the economy. We still are seeing slow growth, and all of the hard data continues to point to the fact that nothing has really changed since Trump came into office. And maybe this is because Trump is maybe picking the wrong battles. But in general, though, Valentin, would you agree that we are still stuck in the same scenario that we were stuck in last year, the year before, even the year before that?
Hey, Corey, thanks for having me. And also thanks for having other great guests like Dan Oliver, who is indeed a good friend of mine and probably smarter than me. So I'd be interested to hear what he had to say. So let's not bash our poor president too much. The guy is, I think, really trying everything and actually trying to fulfill the promises that he made to the voters. It's just that at every turn of the way and with every sort of mean weapon, the opposition, including in the Republican Party, tries to stop him from moving ahead. So he has been bogged down with the things like the travel ban. Now they're debating endlessly about the repeal of Obamacare, which I think Trump thought it was going to be very easy, just repeal it and sort of go back, but probably he underestimated that. So he can't get to the good stuff. He can't get to the tax cuts. He can't get to the infrastructure spending. The executive order on deregulation, or, you know, no more regulation is good, but we still have too much regulation. So, you know, there hasn't been much deregulation either, neither in finance or in the other sectors. There has been a lot of talk, but not much progress on the trade front, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't expect too much. It's just been like, what, a little more than 2 months or 2 months. But he's been blocked. He hasn't been able to get to the good stuff. So, yeah, by and large, as you said, nothing has changed except for the fact that the central banks around the world are now raising interest rates and maybe on purpose even trying to engineer a market correction or a market crash. Stock buybacks are down. That was a big driver of the rally. The companies buying their own stocks basically on margin, borrowing money to buy stock is margin trading. And that's what the companies have been doing. And that's down from last year. So I don't know who's left. Many people say the only people left are the Chinese, who are supporting all asset markets in the world, Australian real estate, Canadian real estate, New York real estate, and maybe even New York stocks. But, you know, if anybody knows the answer to that, I'd be very glad to hear it, because I don't.
Well, even on top of the data that you pointed out, and that's a good point, that we're seeing stock buybacks decrease. We're also seeing insiders as net sellers right now, maybe trying to get ahead of something. But it is something that we actually did talk about, is that Trump ran on so many of these promises, and I think he is finding out that getting anything done in politics is much more difficult and takes a lot longer than it should and that he had expected. But to that point there, Valentin, I think the more important thing that we do need to talk about is this change in central bank mentality, because we will have the ECB tapering, potentially having the Fed continuing to raise rates. It's something that I did talk to Dan Oliver about, but this, I think, is the biggest change in the markets through 2017 compared to what we have seen for the last, you could argue, 8 years.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, the sad thing is that we are practically living in a centrally controlled world where both the government and the central banks that control the economy. And that's the reality for the last year since the great financial crisis. Before, at least, there was a semblance of, you know, private sector taking control, but that's not what it is anymore. And yeah, like we said, Trump is trying. He's really trying to deliver. He's had some good proposals. But until they're all implemented, and they're all, most of them, net positive for the economy, a lot of time may pass. And until then, it's the central banks running the show. And they are increasingly more hostile. And I can't believe that they don't know what they're doing. Instead, if you look at the history of central banking, oftentimes on purpose, they're trying to deflate bubbles or even cool down or crash the economy if it suits their strategy, and maybe they even want to hurt Trump by doing that.
Well, that's an interesting concept, and of course that is just all speculation. We don't know what they are thinking. I'd like to think that the central banks are trying to do their best for the economy and for the people, but I don't know, time and time again they've kind of screwed things up, I guess you could say. But you did mention China, and I think a lot of people have been right now so focused on what's going on in the U.S. that they haven't looked outside of their borders. I've chatted about Europe with Chris Temple on a regular basis, but what about China? Has their risks and has the worries around China dissipated at all in your eyes?
Well, yes. I mean, that's the problem. The worries have dissipated, but the problems haven't gone away. I mean, that's the funny thing. I spoke to one of my top contacts, Diana Scheulever. She recently founded her own research company, Inoda Economics. And actually, a few people I talked to, they all say the same thing. Yeah, on the surface, it's stable. They hit the stimulus gas pedal again last year. And now, you know, what else can they do? In fact, they even said now that they're going to downgrade the growth, and they keep on talking about financial risk and stuff like that. So that means that they are going to try some reform, or certainly they're not going to stimulate much more. And in an economy that is even more debt-driven than ours, that's an issue. And then you have the capital flight, which surprisingly, the capital flows reverse for a month, but, you know, there can be wide fluctuation. But in principle, the Chinese are still moving money out of the country. They want foreign assets. That's what I'm saying. Ironically, this whole financial risk out of China, which caused huge problems when it first appeared in 2015, it affected Western markets. Then in 2016, it was all stable. Now nobody cares about it anymore. So I think if something breaks there, it's going to have an impact. However, until then, it is really true that the Chinese are buying up everything in Europe and in the West, and companies, stocks, real estate, and that does provide a sort of buffer for the asset prices in the West as well. If I look here in New York, where I live, you know, there's at least three new buildings going up. I can't believe anybody who already lives here will buy that or rent that because they can't afford it or they already have something. So it must be foreigners, and the Chinese don't mind buying things and then just leaving it empty as long as they have the money stashed there.
Well, and that's the interesting concept, because even in Vancouver, we did impose a tax on foreign buyers, but you know what? There's still a lot of buyers that are in this market, and the housing market has slowed down, but I have a friend looking for a place right now, and he's saying it is still extraordinarily difficult, and a lot of that, I do think, continues to be some of the foreign money coming in. But, Valentin, is it significant that they do keep up buying up these foreign assets, and we are continuing to see this capital flight out of the country, even though it did just reverse for 1 month there?
Yeah, just a small, we will have small reversal for 1 month. We have to see what happens. Well, yeah, it is significant because the point is that the Chinese have most of their money in the Chinese banking system, and the Chinese banking system is backed by mostly bad assets. So they have smelled the coffee, and they know what's coming. It's either inflation or defaults. So they want to get the money out. So they buy gold, they buy Bitcoin, and yeah, they like real estate. And if you have the money, even if you have an apartment empty in New York, as long as the price tag is the $3 million that you put in, you can afford to pay whatever, you have to pay $50,000 a year in maintenance or whatever, and you're still going to be better off than owning a bank deposit in China, which may be confiscated or significantly inflated.
Well, that's what's interesting, I think, is that this money that continues to flow in is actually providing a base for Western assets as well. But it is, I believe, all a confidence game, and as long as the money does keep on flowing, then who knows, maybe they'll keep this ball rolling for longer than everybody expected. So, Valentin, always great chatting with you. Thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
It's called the Deep State. Barack Obama's most loyal aides still hold office, and they want to stop President Trump. Deep State was first revealed in the runaway New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda. David Horowitz's Big Agenda exposes Obama's government in exile and his shocking plan. Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter all say you must read Big Agenda at bookstores everywhere, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
When a storm causes power loss for a whole day, it can seem endless. There's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power for not just days, but for months or longer. Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. And CENTCOM General Lloyd Austin says it's not a question of if, but when. That's why Americans are rushing to secure solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. And the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all. Portable and lightweight, providing up to 1500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. If a blackout strikes, you'll have power for heat, lights, cell phones and computers, and critical medical devices, all from the rechargeable solar power. Our first introduction sold out fast, and with high demand, we can't guarantee keeping the supply in stock. Stay protected with the power you need. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. Right now, enjoy our special easy pay option. Just go to blackout27.com. That's blackout27.com. Blackout27.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, I have Adrian Day on the line with me, founder of Adrian Day Asset Management. Adrian is a regular guest on the show, but I haven't had him on in, well, it's been a couple months now, Adrian, so I think I want to cover a lot of different markets, and this week, the markets that grabbed the headlines a lot were the U.S. equity markets, because we did have, finally, since the beginning of October, a 1% drop in the S&P back on Wednesday. This grabbed a lot of headlines and really made some investors question the idea that these markets are just going to keep going up and question the aspect of this Trump euphoria that has come into the markets and risen them higher, really on no fundamental improvement on hard economic data, more just on sentiment factors that showed us getting to extreme ratios of bulls versus bears. In your eyes, though, a 1% drop one day is not the start of a new trend, but are you, in essence, worried about the markets at these levels now in their ninth year of this bull market?
Hello. Thank you for having me back. Yeah, I wouldn't want to use the word worry, but I certainly think the market is quite vulnerable at this point. You know, as you say, we've had a long bull market, and particularly the rally since the election has been really quite phenomenal. You know, to a large extent, there were some fundamental reasons why the market should go up after a Trump election. We didn't think so the night before the election, but you know, in hindsight, there were good reasons, rational reasons. You know, the banking stocks and financials obviously went up because of lower regulation, and you know, construction companies and base metals went up because of you know, the infrastructure promise and so on. So these are fundamental reasons, and they were valid reasons. But I think the euphoria, as you say, has really taken stocks just too far. And I'll just say two things, if I may. One is, we should look, when we look at this market, we should remember this is a very expensive market. It is not a bubble, in my mind. The stock market is not a bubble in the sense that the dot-coms were a bubble, or the housing stocks and financial stocks were a bubble. before the 2008 crash. But we're selling at 22, the S&P is selling and trading at 22 times earnings, dividend yield less than 2%, albeit in an environment of low interest rates. But nonetheless, these are not low multiples by any means. And price to book is 3x book. That's kind of expensive. So these are not low multiples by any means, particularly when you consider that the corporate earnings growth, even in the last 6 months, has been pretty mediocre at best. So it seems to me that the market has got ahead of itself, but it seems to me that the market is really pricing in right now all of the good that could possibly come from a Trump administration and ignoring the bad, you know, the lower regulation, the simplified taxes, lower taxes, and so on.
Adrian, let me jump in here.
One last, yeah, go on, please.
Well,
please.
Just talking about this Trump euphoria and you even saying that that has driven the markets. If we have this euphoria and optimism come out of the markets, does that result in a crash or does that just result in a pullback?
Oh, you know, that's difficult to say. One of the dangerous signs in recent last few months is that the public is getting back into stocks in a pretty big way. And that's normally, I have to say, a negative sign when the public starts getting in after a long bull market at these expensive levels. So I would think we could have, I don't think, well, you never know if you're going to have a one-day crash, but I think we could have a pretty significant correction, you know, at some point in the next several months, yeah.
Well, another sign I think that is interesting is that insiders are now net sellers to actually a pretty large degree, and corporate buybacks have drastically slowed. So we
Absolutely.
Are seeing a bit of a change. That is usually a bearish sign. But let's also talk about the environment that we're in where we are seeing these higher interest rates. And even the Fed already hiked once this year. That's 3 hikes in under 3 years, which I know doesn't sound like much, but it is a change. How do these slightly higher interest rates impact interest rate sensitive stocks first?
Well, you know, some of the stocks we own are things like the BDCs, the business development companies, you know, companies that lend money to small businesses, and they tend to pay high dividends, like real estate companies, because they don't pay tax at the corporate level, so they tend to, and they have to pass through all of their earnings, net operating income, to investors. So the yields tend to be quite high. Right now they're between 8 and 10%. And typically, when interest rates move up, you see these stocks take an immediate knee-jerk drop. But the truth is that companies like this, and it goes for real estate companies as well, you know, this is a very, very low interest rate environment, even if the Fed does raise rates another 0.25%, and then again another 0.25%. It's still a very low interest rate environment. And I don't think it affects these stocks very much at all, to be honest. You know, when banks aren't lending, people have to small business has to go to alternative lenders, and business development companies can get good spreads on their money. So even if rates go up, they can get more for the loans that they make, even if they have to pay more for the money that they borrow. So the spreads remain the same. So, yeah, I'm not overly concerned about that. It's very interesting, as you said, that the stock market took a big hit on, or a 1% hit on Wednesday, but it bounced right back immediately afterwards. You know, so I don't think people are expecting the Fed to be overly aggressive this year.
I would agree with that, although if we do even get 2 more rate hikes, the Fed has even admitted that they are okay with being behind the curve. So I think watching that inflation data is important. One other point to make to these BDCs is that there's so much money sloshing around the system. I have no doubt either that they can find some funding when needed. Let's also talk about gold, though. Gold in relation to these higher interest rates that we are seeing, even though interest rates, in all fairness, when set on the market, have been quite volatile. How do you feel about gold moving forward?
Yeah, well, you hit on a very important point there, Corey, if I may, and that was, you know, that the Fed is behind the curve on inflation. So, you know, right now, even though they've raised the raise rates by 0.25%, they're still behind inflation. And real rates, which is real short-term rates, which is what gold really looks at, real short-term rates, that is the nominal rate less the rate of inflation, are actually higher now than they were 6 months ago. So this is a positive for gold. That's the first thing to mention. And the second thing we need to remember is that gold has traded up. Even though higher interest rates in theory are bad for gold, for all the reasons we can think about that are obvious, gold can overcome higher interest rates if the Fed is behind the curve. You only have to think of 1976 to 1980. Think of what gold did if you were around at that time. If not, consult the history books. You know, gold went from $100 an ounce to $800 an ounce. And yet that was a time of rising interest rates. Think back to 2004 to 2007. Interest rates were going up, and yet gold was going up at the same time. So if the Fed is behind the curve, gold will move ahead. And I think that's what we're going to see going forward, frankly, because even Janet Yellen has admitted that, and as you said earlier, very important, the fundamentals in the U.S. economy are really not improving that much. You know, it's still a pretty fragile economy, in my view. And so I don't think the Fed wants to be too aggressive in raising rates. And yet inflation will do what it's going to do, you know, independent of the Fed, if you like. So I think we're going to see a scenario in the next year where inflation picks up more than most people are imagining right now. And again, the Fed maybe raises once, maybe raises twice, but is always lagging inflation. And that's positive for gold.
Well, it sounds like you and I, Adrian, agree on many stats out there, and I appreciate that because I'm trying to take as much emotion out of this as I can and look at the numbers. You look at a lot of the soft data, that is very bullish. You look at the hard data for the economy, and again, we're stuck in this slow growth environment. Nothing has changed since Trump took office, except for the fact that the markets have screamed to all-time highs. So it's an interesting aspect to look at what's going on around the world. But I do think the biggest change this year and the nicest fundamental driver for gold has been this uptick in inflation, something to watch for in the coming months and possibly even the coming years. But Adrian, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an indie hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each indie hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indie hammered knives. Custom knives. Made in America.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.